Hello, you're watching the Lenovo Esprit video series on the theology of the body. This video is dedicated to Audience 57. We are your hosts. I am Jeremy Hossotter.
And I'm Guillermo Moreno.
So this audience actually marks the last audience for section six. This section was dedicated to the theme of purity as life according to the Spirit. And we spent our time looking at several texts of Saint Paul from his different letters, such as Romans, 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians. And now we are going to end that part of our discussion with this audience. And so the text we are going to begin talking about is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So, Guillermo, would you like to read the Bible verses, please?
Yes. The first one is from 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you do not belong to yourselves? For you were bought at a great price. And then the following text from 1 Corinthians 6 is verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ?
All right. Thank you, Guillermo.
Yes.
So we can make some observations here. First, namely, our bodies are not our own, but they are now the Holy Spirit's because our bodies are temples of the Spirit. And so we have to keep our bodies in holiness. We have to work actively to keep our body as temple holy. That's now a ethical norm or duty because of this indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. And we also have this observation that we are bought with a great at a great price. This is in reference to Christ's death and resurrection. The great price is the fact that God became man and then suffered and died on the cross. That is the great price. And so this Saint Paul here is connecting the concepts of our bodies being a temple for the Holy Spirit with the redemption of the body. And so the redemption of the body is going to be connected with this virtue of purity that we've talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this virtue of purity, just in reference to 1 Thessalonians, had to do with keeping the body with holiness and reverence. And these are proper moral attitudes we need to have in order to keep our bodies as temples. We need to have this reverence and holiness. Guillermo, do you have anything you'd like to add at this point?
I do not.
All right. So this leads to what JP2 calls the charismatic dimension. So the Holy Spirit enters our bodies as his own temple. The Holy Spirit dwells within and works with his with the spiritual gifts. So there are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, and this list comes from the prophet Isaiah in his book, chapter 11, verse 2. And the seven gifts are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. And JP2 observes that the virtue of purity corresponds most closely with this gift of piety. And we have to distinguish between two meanings of piety. And this is in reference to footnote 64. First is a more specific meaning, as in veneration of the divine. So in our case, piety is our veneration of God. And then there's this more general meaning. And I'll just quote what JP2 said, and that is, again, quote, reverence for the vital structures of life, end quote. And this is a much more broad and general meaning. And historically, this has applied to the mutual behavior of relatives, spouses, and has described the relationship of, say, the Roman soldiers to Caesar and of slaves to their masters. So these are various instances of piety that is not directed towards divine beings. And it's, we're going to want to think about these distinctions when we start talking about purity and the gift of piety. So piety, as a gift of the Holy Spirit, serves purity by making man more sensitive to the dignity of the body in virtue of the mysteries of creation and redemption. So the fact that man is created in the image and likeness of God, that the body has a spousal meaning, and that this body participates in that dignity and value of man, all that's interconnected, and the fact that man, or I should say the body in its masculinity or femininity, is made for communion of persons and this gift of self. All of this, which then original sin obscures, redemption again makes clear and redeems man so that he can live freely in this ethos of gift. Piety needs to be kept in mind in the background of all of this, where it serves purity by making man more sensitive to the truth of who is man and the value of the body. And so piety gives the words of St. Paul their convincing power in human experience as a lived and living truth in human action. So it's hard sometimes for us to see purity, see how it's lived, and piety gives it that convincing power, that lived expression. And so through piety, man will become more open towards a fuller receptivity of the value of the spousal meaning of the body and the freedom of the gift of self. So piety frees the human spirit for being able to give a proper value response to the sexual value of the body integrated with the value of the person. Guillermo, do you have any thoughts or comments about this material?
About piety, I did find the, just for lack of the words, secular understanding of piety, I found those to be very interesting, because in the end, the common denominator between the secular and the religious understanding of piety, there's just something about reverence. We address he or she or they, whoever we are pious to, with a kind of reverence. And what comes to mind, just as a and of course, different kinds of reverence, of course, where we're not going to treat God in the same way as others who we show reverence to. And maybe if there's something in between reverence and casual, I guess that would be formal. What comes to my mind is the fact that in Spanish-speaking cultures, we have two different words for the word you, tú and usted. Tú is the informal, casual way of addressing someone who we don't owe that reverence to, for lack of other words, who we don't have to be so formal with, people who we are close to, who there's that just confidence, there's a comfort level with such individuals. However, with say one's elders or one's employer or religious individuals. When I say religious, I mean priests or religious sisters, nuns, so forth. We would use the word usted, which is a more formal, well, it is a formal version of the word you. And in the end, it's because these individuals deserve a certain kind of, for a lack of other words, reverence, where we would not address them like we would someone who we do not owe that reverence to. Reverence, for a lack of other words. But I'm pointing all this out because I see this common denominator. And that really stood out to me. This common denominator of reverence when it comes to piety in either of the religious or secular sense of the word.
Yeah, thank you for that, Guillermo. This kind of helped us get a nice concrete example of kind of what does piety, how piety might look like in an everyday life.
Yes.
You know, so I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a little bit more relatable than the Roman soldiers example that we were given.
Yes.
That's a little bit in the past for us.
Of course.
But there's probably something similar with, say, U.S. soldiers and their general or colonel or something.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
You know, maybe my example was more of an analogy rather than an actual example of piety.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I would have to understand, for a lack of other words, the connotation that the Roman soldiers would use when they say pious.
Right.
No, my example, yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right. The body and glorification. So when we keep our own body, keeping our own body in abstinence, that is avoiding unchastity, this will bear a fruit, the fruit of a deeper experience of love. So this love is something that is inscribed in the entirety of humanity since man's creation. And this is because of the fact that man and woman are made in the image and likeness of God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 tells us to glorify God with our bodies. And this means then that purity as a virtue, this keeping of our bodies with holiness and reverence, plus the gift of piety, and this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it causes such a fullness in our interpersonal relationships that we glorify God. God is glorified through our purity in keeping our bodies in holiness and reverence as temples. So in other words, through purity, the husband and wife in their interpersonal relationships glorify God. One could almost dare say that they have perform the conjugal act in a pure way, that it is a glorification, a glorifying of God. God is glorified through that action. I'm sure some of our listeners have heard the phrase like holy sex, and that's precisely what we're getting at, is the fact that there is, in fact, a way of performing the conjugal act that God is glorified, and that the act itself is something sacred, so something holy. And so when we think about the antithesis of that, when we don't keep our bodies in abstinence for purity, then we do not experience the full deep experience, that full depth of love. We lose that. We lose this ability to glorify God And as we talked about in the previous audience, this becomes a profanation. We profane our bodies. We profane these temples. And it's such a radical contrast, just what purity does versus what impurity does when we commit these kinds of actions. And I want to draw our attention now to this wonderful text. So begin quote, "Purity is the glory of the human body before God. It is the glory of God in the human body through which masculinity and femininity are manifested. From purity springs that singular beauty that permeates every sphere of reciprocal common life between human beings and allows them to express in it the simplicity and depth, the cordiality and unrepeatable authenticity of personal trust," end quote. You just cannot yet capture that in a life of impurity. Impurity is such an ugly thing in comparison to the beauty of the lives we get to live as pure beings. This life according to the Spirit. Guillermo, do you have anything you'd like to add to this?
Well, yes. What comes to mind when it comes to purity and impurity, I just imagine analogously, take the word purity and apply it to water. Let's say a lake. You get two lakes, one that is pure and another one that is impure. So the one that in and of itself is impure, what's it filled with? Maybe fecal matter. Maybe litter. Maybe like even thinking about such a lake, that thought is nauseating. But think of a lake that's pure. What does it look like? The water, presumably, it looks crystal clear. You can see the sunlight shining on the surface of the water, and it's just visually speaking, it's there's a pleasantness there that wouldn't be there if the lake wasn't pure. Now take purity and apply it to sexuality. There's just something at the root of the meaning of the word pure and at the root of the meaning of the word impure that when it's applied to sexuality, it's a different perspective. And I would say it is a different experience. One is good, the other one is not. It's just difficult to see.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I like that visual. Just to go back to the lake for a moment.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at a muddy lake, it's not pleasing to look at. It's an eyesore. But when you see that lake that's crystal clear and you just see 20, 30 feet straight down, there's a delight in that beauty of that lake. There's a delight in the purity of human sexuality that you cannot capture in a life of impurity. That's a special experience of delight that dwells within the value of the spousal meaning of the body, the communion of persons, that is inaccessible to a life of impurity. So yeah, it's a very good point to emphasize this essential difference between the experience of the pure man versus the impure man. They're totally different experiences. It's the same human body in front of you, but how these two people experience that is so radically different in accordance to the hierarchy of values. All right. Did you have any other thoughts for us, Guillermo?
I do not.
Okay. We'll move on then. Thank you for that. All right. Now, JP2 references the wisdom tradition. We've talked about it before already, and this is just some final point to kind of tie in what is the relationship, the wisdom tradition, with what we've just analyzed with St. Paul's concept of life according to the Spirit. Well, JP2 says that the wisdom literature is in continuity with the St. Paul's concept of life according to the Spirit. And he gives references to wisdom and Sirach. We have the verses cited here, of course. And so if we reference the wisdom tradition, purity is a condition for finding wisdom. And similarly, wisdom is a condition for purity as gift. So purity builds wisdom, wisdom builds purity. You get this back and forth. So as you live a life of purity, you gain access, you have a more ability to discover wisdom. Then as you become more wise, that allows you to encounter purity more and more in its gift-likeness. And so we want to emphasize two dimensions of purity. The virtue of purity serves wisdom, and then wisdom disposes one to receive this gift from God. So wisdom strengthens purity as a virtue, and it allows the enjoyment of life according to the Spirit. Of living in wisdom, the fruits of pure behavior, attitudes, and life. And so the wisdom literature prepared St. Paul's listeners for understanding this concept of life according to the Holy Spirit. And so, do you have anything you'd like to add, Guillermo?
It's a little off topic, but we're referring to 1 Corinthians, right? Oh, no, excuse me. Where is Paul citing Sirach and wisdom?
Oh, he's not. JP2 is.
JP2 is. Oh,
JP2
I see.
JP2 is citing those texts to show the continuity.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, I don't think St. Paul is directly citing them. He might indirectly cite them, but I don't think there's a direct quotation.
Okay, there's like an indirect reference.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Essentially, what JP2 is saying, here's these concepts and the wisdom tradition, and here's their continuity with St. Paul.
Okay.
So you have this teaching from the wisdom tradition that purity is a condition for wisdom.
Great.
And then, well, wisdom then helps us understand purity as gift.
All right.
And so that's our connection to St. Paul. All right.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. One last point then is this life according to the Spirit is an anthropological rebirth in the Holy Spirit that is rooted in the redemption of the body achieved by Jesus Christ. So when we have this life according to the Spirit, it is, I almost dare say, being born again anew, right? Since it is a rebirth in the Holy Spirit. And it's grounded in Christ's death and resurrection.
Real quick, I wouldn't hesitate to say being born anew, because what comes to mind is John chapter 3.
Yeah.
Christ, yeah.
Yeah, you just got to be careful a little bit, because you don't want to say it's baptism. That's why I was a little hesitant with the language. Because John 3 is first about baptism.
Correct.
You can have multiple meanings, but I just want to be clear about
all
that.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Did you have any last thoughts, Guillermo?
Nope.
Okay. With that, then, thank you for watching our video. If you have been enjoying our content, please like, share, comment, and subscribe to our social media such as Facebook and YouTube. Also, consider making a financial donation through either PayPal, Patreon, or even using the Brave web browser. You can tip us directly on our YouTube page or our website. Your financial contributions go towards the maintenance of our website and the purchasing of materials so that we can continue providing you with great resources such as this video series and our many articles on our website. Our website, lesnouvellesesprit.com, has many articles on theology and philosophy that are freely available for everyone to read and enjoy. We also have a podcast that you can find on our website. Guillermo, can you give us some more information about our podcast, please?
Yes, in our other podcast series, we talk about a variety of topics, such as trends in culture and politics, and we address them from a Catholic personalist perspective. You can access our podcast episodes on the Le Nouvel Esprit website in the podcast page under Media. You can also, through that page, access us on Buzzsprout, where we upload our episodes and you can listen to us there as well, or use Buzzsprout to locate us in other popular podcasting platforms, such as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
All right. And just to be clear, in case you're confused where at is all of our social media, you can simply go to lesnouvellesesprit.com/subscribe, and there we have links to our Patreon, PayPal, Facebook, YouTube, every single place we have our podcast listed, and more things. There's a lot of social media out there, and we're not even on all of it. But on everything that we are on, you can find a link for at lesnouvellesesprit.com/subscribe. Guillermo, do you have anything else for our listeners?
Yes, I would just like to ask our audience to keep us and our mission in your prayers.
Yes, please keep us in your prayers. We are in gratitude for them. And with that, we will see you next time.
Bye, everyone. God bless.
I believe you said goodbye, everyone. God bless. But my internet cut out. So, goodbye, y'all. There he is.
Excuse me. Bye, everyone. God bless.
There we go.